Welcome to Bookish Podcast with Kath and Elle, a podcast about books-ish. A quick disclaimer before we start, there may be some spoilers, so please save the episode for later if you don't want any. And also, please follow us on social at We Are Bookish Pod. We hope you enjoy.
It's on my running playlist.
Is it?
Yeah. Hello, hi.
I think you need to sing it for everyone else now.
It's Friday then, it's Saturday, Sunday, what?
My God, stunning.
It's not the weekend.
But... it's not, it's Monday. It's fucking Monday. I've been in the office all day. I had to wait so long for a bus home, I was fuming about it.
Ooh, you're still doing your bus journeys to and from the office.
Yeah, but it's cheap. It's really cheap. It is, so yeah. Pros and cons. Actually, on the bus back today, I was reading romantic comedy. I got it from the library. I'm not sure, you know. I think it might be overhyped. But I'm going to reserve all judgments till I finished it, because I feel like with a romance, you need to know the ending. Mm-hmm. And you need to know how they get to the ending before you can... But paragraphs, so long. This paragraph was literally 2 pages long without a paragraph break. Yeah. I was like, what? That's... I'm not interested in that. Like, not really. So, we'll see.
Hi, team. Hi, guys. Hey, girl. Hey. Because I realized we didn't even say hi to each other. We were just like, what are you doing? But, I did want to read romantic comedy, but are you reading it as a hardback?
Yeah, from the library. I didn't buy it, but I did get it from the library. Yeah. And it like, I was like leaning it on my hands on the bus. Like, it's not very practical, no. So,
do you get to sit the whole way from?
Yeah, the bus is not that busy. Well, I'm not going to bait out where I live, actually. I was going to tell you why I get a seat, but I'm not going to tell you.
I go from one end of the line to another and it's fantastic.
I'll tell you later. But,
but how are you anyway, Kath? It's Elle here with Kath reading her romantic comedy on the bus. Actually, that's really cool calling it romantic comedy, because then you could say things just like that.
Yeah, it's clever. I'm cool. It's all go moment. I have booked 6 million holidays. I have no money, and I have not booked 6 million holidays. But why are flights so expensive now? Sorry,
Brexit. I don't know.
Probably pandemic, Brexit, all of the above. I don't know. Probably, you know, probably a good thing. I don't know how. Like, maybe it stops you from air travel, and then it's better for the environment, but then it just lets the rich people do it anyway. I don't know. I'm talking like Ryanair.
Yeah, spending. You might as well just book British Airways, not gonna lie. I do. I go check there first, because at least then I get points.
Honestly, yeah.
I've got into that now. I'm old enough to stop buying Ryanair and buying like BA.
Mate, me too, but yeah. Anyway,
no, I know, because I used to just be like default cheap option, but now it's like it's not even worth it. And sometimes, Kat, what you can do is you can have a look and see how much business is and how much more the business ticket is, and maybe even just give yourself a little upgrade.
Listen, right? Do you want to know how much my rent is? I'm not upgrading to business.
No, but sometimes it's like the business. So when I was booking. Not for Bordeaux. So I'm the only thing I've got booked this year is to go to Bordeaux to do a race. So, you know,
something else in the diary. Don't give me that shit. I thought you were going to New York or something.
Oh, I don't know. Well, now I can't book anything until... Oh, yeah. I can't book anything until I start my new job, guys.
Well, it's all... Ellie's got a new job.
I haven't started yet, though. But, like, I don't have...
If you have pre-booked holidays, you can just let them know.
I know, but then I was like, so me and Amalia's timelines don't work out either. Hi, Amalia. Everyone to the world. Our timelines don't work out because she needs the first 2 weeks of July, but I'm going to Wimbledon in smack bang in the middle of what would
have you got Wimbledon tickets?
Yeah.
Shit. I really want to go to Wimbledon this year.
Oh, sorry.
Just get myself.
I have Vicky got first refusal because she didn't come with me last time. But if she decides to, for whatever reason, decide not to come, you can have.
What day have you got?
4th of July.
Oh, nice.
Independence Day in the United
States. I'm going to do the queue, I think, this year. I the Wimbledon queue is fun, but you have to get up fucking early. Anyway,
I digress. Wait, so no flights booked, but if you do look, sometimes it's like the difference of £40 between like your flight in premium and the business one if you're going like short haul. So sometimes I'm
mate,
why not?
I don't have a spare £40. Like,
no, not in this economy.
Not in this economy.
I live at home, so like, I'm lucky in that way. But otherwise, I've got Big Swiss in front of me.
Oh yeah, is it good?
I'm enjoying it so far, but I'm only like 30 pages in, and it feels weird. I don't know if it's one of those books where, if the individual reader picked it up, it would like, because I feel like it's speaking to me, right? There's certain things that have happened where I'm like, oh, like, so for example, she mentions a colour of OPI nail polish that I like absolutely love called Linkin Park After Dark, and she's just like, oh my god, he, I don't know why she references him, I can't remember, but I was like, oh, that's such a particular reference to a particular colour, and I'm like, oh, maybe it's just like really popular.
Hmm, I've never heard
but
of it.
Then Link is like a really. Do you remember when I had the dark coloured nails, like the blacky, bluey?
Were they like bluey?
Yeah, that colour is Linkin Park After Dark.
It's
the colour I can't remember what this red colour is.
You know, what, it, like, is it a shellac?
Or, OPI.
Because I bet it is quite. Like, if you get your nails done. Actually, I was thinking today I need to do my nails. I haven't done it for ages.
But then there was also this bit. So I'm working on a campaign. I'm not working with Visit Sweden, but our teams are, and there's a campaign called Swedenland or Switzerland, not Sweden, not Switzerland, and obviously the character Big Swiss is from Switzerland, and there's this whole thing about the guy makes like stereotypes, and she says, I'm from Switzerland, not Sweden, and it goes on for like a page, and I'm like, oh my god, it's speaking to my life, and I told our like my lead in Sweden about it, and he was like, oh, that's so funny, and I was like, oh my, it's like hand-picked things that have happened in my life in the last 2 weeks, and I'm like, I wonder if every individual reader has like a random thing that happened in their life that is then just cherry-picked in the first couple of pages of this book, like if it's different for every reader. In my head I'm like, ah, oh, this is what it is, but it's not, it's obviously the book, and it's just
maybe
coincidental that these things have happened.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's fun cool. So far.
Can I borrow it after you've read it?
Yes.
Thanks. I was joking the other day how when people come to my house, they leave with a book, like I'm like the library, because people just look at my bookshelves and they're like, oh my god, can I read that? And I'm like, yeah, take it with you.
That's handy, because then you don't have to like find a place to store it.
Okay, so Tom's like, you have to get rid of some books. And I was like, well, that one, and that one are Ellie's. And he was like, yeah, and how many books does Ellie have of yours? And I was like, no comment. And then I was like, that one I'm getting rid of. That one is not mine. That's from the library. And he was like, that's like 4 books, Kath. And I was like... Also, I have so many at my parents' house as well. And I bet you soon they're going to be like, you need to take these now. I'm like,
it's had its time. Please,
but my bedroom at home is now a guest room. Like they did it, they like changed it out, and it needs a bookshelf. I think the bookshelf adds to it. Like if you're a guest in a house and you're sleeping in a bedroom with a bookshelf, it feels homely. That's exactly. My argument anyway.
Exactly, and then they could walk away with a book potentially.
Well, yes, quite. but anyway
yeah I have you watched the 50-part series Who the Fuck Did I Marry on TikTok?
No, I have not, because I do not have time for that shite. But I have heard about it, and I've heard that there's some good summaries which I need to watch. So I need to... Well, why don't you summarize it for me instead? And then I did need to watch it.
How do you summarize 7.5 hours worth of content? So it follows, it's Risa Tisa, a lady who's from Georgia, and the man she married, and basically she documents it in this like 50-part TikTok series. I think it's just like a way for her to like, you know what I love about this, like this form of all storytelling and like TikTok and story times, is that it is she's a great storyteller, one. It's very entertaining, but it's also really sad as well because of the stuff that she went through and the stuff that he put her through. Essentially, she meets this guy on Facebook dating, and it's like all really good at the beginning because she talks about the first time they go on a date and he's meant to meet her somewhere, but her car breaks down. So he comes out to meet her. He changes her tire. He pays for the tire that is like blown out. And because it happens like right at the beginning of COVID, they decide to like quarantine together, and it's okay for like a little bit. But obviously everything escalates. Like, I feel like he love bombed her like a lot in those early days, because it quickly escalates to like marriage or like getting engaged. But in between, all of these really random things happen. Like, he keeps saying that he's going to buy her a house, buy her a car, and then these things never materialize. But then he's always paying for stuff. Like, it feels a bit like, what's that Netflix program?
Oh, The Tinder Swindler.
The Tinder Swindler. Feels a bit like that. But she also, like, falls pregnant for this guy and then miscarries. And it's just like, and her whole experience with that is just, like, horrifying as well, because she had to like go and deal with that on her own. She has to like take this pill to like sort of end the pregnancy. And it's like awful, and it's just all these comings and goings. He cheats on her. He says that he's got all these family that died of COVID. Like, I'm not even summarizing it like really nicely, but she basically finds out, she starts keeping a log, like a video, like a voice note log of stuff that keeps happening. And thank God, because then she's able to give like such a well detailed story in this 50-part saga that is her life for like the last 4 years. And it turns out like he was just like an absolute, a compulsive liar, a pathological liar, in fact. She doesn't call him a compulsive, she's like, he's a pathological liar. And like, it absolutely upends her life, because it's just, I don't think I can even describe it any more than that. He is just a madman, and that you do kind of feel maybe the tiniest bit bad for him, because he's been like completely abandoned by his family. He makes up family members. He says, this is my aunt. The aunt is like some woman who's like a distant friend of his mother. His parents had died a long time ago. He had two wives before then who he like also did the same shit to. Like, he completely upended her life. But it's so, so, so engaging. And I hope she gets to go to London and Paris and all the other places that she wants to go to. And it's just, it's horrible because, you know, when you think you're a woman of a certain age and like marriage and kids, like those things are like on your mind, you know, as you're getting older. And I just feel like he really took advantage of her.
Sure. Wow.
But she also tells it in like quite an entertaining way. So I feel like if you've got 7 hours of your life to give to it,
it's like a Netflix show.
Well,
honestly,
it's absolutely gonna get picked up for sure.
Well, you know how like marketing people are on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Annoying, basically.
Yeah.
I saw all these, but that's how I found out about it, because all these posts of like, I follow like loads of like agencies, and all the like social media agencies are like, oh, like people say that long form content is dead, but it's not. Like, this is an example, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God, of course the marketing teams have picked it up. So, yeah, it was funny. But Yeah, I need to have a look at it. I've been trying not to go on TikTok too much because
easy life.
Yeah. But actually sometimes, you know, the other day I got home and I was like, I'd been like socializing all day and I was just like absolutely knackered. I just sat on the sofa and just scrolled for 10 minutes on TikTok and it actually really relaxed me. I think I've got my algorithm a bit better now. Like, I think I was like seeing really like stuff that was making me a bit anxious, like health stuff and whatever. And I think now my algorithm is just like books, cats, and then like random things to do in London. And it just was quite relaxing. So, yeah.
That's basically my algorithm. That and like some sort of like sports type things. Like,
yeah, running. I do actually get a lot of fitness content, you know. Yeah. But I actually quite like it. Like, I'm not a fitness girly, but I do enjoy it. There's this one girl that always comes up on my For You page and she's like, she makes all these faces in her video. Like, she's like a gym person, but she's just really funny. So she's like part gym goer, part comedian, basically. I can't remember what her name is. I'll send her to you, though, if she comes up.
Love that.
But
it's good. I have my algorithm hasn't managed to avoid Love is Blind spoilers, but to be honest, I just gave up. You know how we love Love is Blind here on this
Actually, no, this is ridiculous because I'm watching it this time and Ellie's always like, have you seen this? And I'm like, no. And then I joined this call and I was like, Ellie, I'm watching Love is Blind. She was like, I'm not watching it. I was like, fuck's sake. I thought you'd be like, yes, we can talk
so
about it.
I'm so good. Like, I am actually really proud of you, but I gave up like last drop because I think they're all terrible and none of them are worth watching.
Okay,
go for it.
I was just gonna say, I haven't watched anything like, I don't like the term trashy TV, but trashy TV, like, you know, like Love Island or Love is Blind, like, I haven't watched anything like that for a while and I was like, I just need something like switch off, like I just want to be completely switched off. So,
I mean, this is going to tick the box. Honestly, it's a mess. It's so, they're all terrible, bar like a sprinkling of people. And I mean, maybe I'll go back, but I just feel like I need to see like a genuine couple win. I need a Lauren and Cameron or a
Tiff and Brett.
And this season doesn't have it. But it is quite enjoyable TV because I can't believe the audacity of men.
Well, I will let you know if I finish it. Basically, Tom was out and I was watching it and then he came home a little bit drunk and I was like, you can sit here if you watch Love is Blind. Otherwise, you can go to bed. He was like, okay. And then the whole time he was like, why are they talking like that? What, they haven't actually said anything. It's just like, why are they being annoying? And I'm like, Tom, just shut up and watch it. it's really funny.
Oh no.
But yeah, I don't think he's ever seen an episode before, so it opened his mind to a whole nother world of TV that he could enjoy if he just decided to, you know. He's missing out.
I feel like he needs to watch Tiff and Brett.
Yeah, I don't think I can get him to watch. Actually, good segue. He watched One Day with Me. I made him do that because I was like, I need to get through this and I'm going to watch it more quickly if he is watching it with me because we'll be sat down watching TV, do you know what I mean? Of an evening.
Yeah, yeah.
So I made him watch it with me. He was like, Dexter's an arsehole. He should keep, and I was like, just trust the process. He was like, they don't belong together. Like, Emma and, oh my God, brain blank. Oh my God. Ian, thank you. He was like, Emma and Ian deserve to be together. And I was like, no. I was like, the whole point is that they love. I was like, I got really, really passionate. I was like, Emma and Dexter are meant to be together. You have to trust this process, Tom. Like, they love each other. That's the whole point. It's the whole point of the book. And it's the whole point of the show that they cannot stay away from each other. No matter what happens, they cannot stay away from each other. That is the point. That is what makes it one of the greatest love stories of our time.
Not Ian.
I know.
That man was so irritating in the book. And in, kudos to the actor who played Ian. Can I just
did
say?
Did you see he's on TikTok, speaking of TikTok? And he was like, hi, guys. It's so good.
Because I'm telling you, to play someone so irritating is a skill.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Unless you're naturally that way.
I know. I know.
No. Oh, no. Yeah. And did he trust the process? Oh, he just watched that one episode, so he doesn't know.
No, he watched the whole thing with me.
Did he trust the process?
Well, I think he was just extremely concerned about my visceral reaction. So actually, I think he was just more concerned about comforting me than anything else. So I literally, okay, when I read the book, I was like 16 or something. I don't know. I was at school. Do you know what? I think it was before I did my A-levels for sure, because I remember talking about it when I did my A-level literature course. Yeah. Not in an essay, but to my teacher. And that's like a weird core memory for me for some reason. But anyway, and my parents had read it and they were like, this is a good book, you should read it. And I'd read David Nicholls got two other books and I'd read them, like Start of Ten and The Understudy, at that time when I read one day. He's got more now. And so I read it and they didn't give me any indication what happened, like not at all. Like I had no idea. I just knew it was like sort of romance, whatever. When I got to the bit that Emma dies, I literally, I was hysterical. My mum still tells people about it now. Like, so I just like went up to my parents and I was like, why did you make me read this book? Like, I can't believe you gave me this book. So I was so upset. And they were like, oh my God, what have we done? Like, thought that I was emotionally ready for it and I wasn't. Bear in mind, I was a teenager. Like, I was, like, so emotional anyway. Anyway, and then I was like, I know what's going to happen. So, like, I will be upset, but, like, I'll be all right. I was literally, like, I was sobbing as if something had happened to me. Like, I genuinely have never, nothing, stuff makes me cry all the time. But, like, just a couple of tears. I was just, like, honestly, like, snotty and like properly crying, and I couldn't stop crying for like a half an hour after I finished watching it. Like the last two episodes, I cried the whole way through because I knew it was coming as well, so I was crying before it happened. And then I was like, yeah, I don't understand like how they managed to like make me feel like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just amazing.
I feel the same as you. So when I knew it was coming. So I feel like the last couple of episodes, really, like episode 12, when they finally come together, I felt that really paid off all that tension, because I felt like there was, and I've had lots of conversations with people, either one side or the other side of it, like they've really loved it or didn't feel like it did it well, and we'll get to that. But I felt like there was a lot of tension, like, yeah, especially the episode when they go to Greece. And I was like, my God, girl, just jump his fucking bones, will you? Because if you won't, I will reach inside the television and put myself in Greece.
When she watched him in the shower, I was like, girl, do you want to get in?
Get in!
Because if she'd got in the shower, he would have done. I'm sorry, yeah, but he loved her. Like,
It just, I feel like it really paid off those moments really well in Paris. Mm. And then just that bit when she's like, right, I'm going to come meet you in the house. That's like, oh my God, it's coming. And then, and then it happened. And I was in tears from like episode 12 to the end. And I'd watched the last two episodes like hungover on my sofa before I started work.
No,
it was like 7
you were hungover.
I was hungover and I was really teary. But when I read One Day, I'd read it. My aunt gave me two books when I went traveling, just like have this as you while you're away to read. One of them was Eat, Pray, Love, which is very,
very, I love that, iconic. To be fair, Eat, Pray, Love was a book of our time. Like everyone read it. Everyone.
Yeah. She gave me Eat, Pray, Love, and she gave me One Day. And I read them both while I was farming in the middle of, like, fuck knows where, Marion. And I just, we've spoken about this guy before, like way back when we did our Dolly episodes. I dated a guy while I was in Australia, and we had just sort of like ended things, and I was upset about it, but I wasn't upset about it ending with him. I was upset with myself because I knew better. I was like, for fuck's sake, I knew better. Why did I date this guy? So having been like heartbroken in loose terms, because it wasn't really, I was in a very emotional state when it came to love, and so to read One Day in the middle of nowhere on this farm with alpacas and to get that ending, the book went flying across the room. And there's a girl that I was farming with, she was like, what the hell's happened?
No.
I was like, you're telling me I sat through all those pages, all those pages for you to just kill Emma at the end? Absolutely not.
I think the reason, like, it's so tragic because they finally are happy, but it's also like you're just not really expecting it. You're kind of expecting that to be at the end, that they're happy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And it doesn't even feel, I don't know how you feel, but it doesn't even feel like, and then she died. Like, it kind of feels like, I don't know.
It's not unexpected.
Like, yeah.
It's completely and utterly unexpected.
It truly is.
Because you know what I'm like. I normally can anticipate things.
Yeah.
When I'm reading, I'm like, oh, something's off. This is like not what it's supposed to be. That I just didn't see coming at all.
Oh, no, because in the book as well, I've got the page open. And it's like, she thinks very distinctly of two things. The first is a photograph of herself at 9 years old in a red swimsuit on a beach. She can't remember where, Philly or Scarborough, perhaps. She's with her mother and father, who are swinging her towards the camera. The sunburnt faces buckled with laughter. Then she thinks of Dexter, sheltering from the rain on the steps of the new house, looking at his watch, impatient. He'll wonder where I am, she thinks. He'll worry. Then Emma Mayhew dies, and everything that she thought or felt vanishes and is gone forever.
Oh my God.
Also, just realised that her name...
Oh, I forgot. Shivers.
Oh. She dies. Also, she doesn't fucking deserve to die. You know, I think that's what really winds me up.
Yeah.
She's like just consistent. Like, she's finally got her writing break. Like, she really fucking doesn't deserve to die.
Oh. Oh, that gave me shivers. She doesn't.
Do you know what?
Yeah, go on.
I feel like it's made me like really aware of like how short life is. I don't know, like, I honestly am just like, every time I see Tom, I'm like, can I have a hug? And he's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Normally I'm like, don't touch me.
And then you have that one moment when you think, oh, no, not Emma. And then you go, okay.
Well, the boy bloody cycled to work the next day in the rain. I was like, are you joking? Like, can you just get the bus, please? Or the train? I was like, what? Why are you doing this to me? Yeah. It's like, can you text me when you get there, please? Like, oh, my God.
We were looking up, like, the differences in the book. But there's like a Cosmopolitan article that's like, oh, this happens, and then, and basically it's just more like timeline things, I think, that change, which have to for an adaptation. They took out these are things I don't remember. I didn't even like revise, sorry guys, I didn't go back to check the book out to revise it because I didn't want to, if I'm being honest. I didn't remember that Tilly and Dexter slept together.
No, I don't remember that either.
But I'm glad that wasn't something that they kept in. So,
but I guess maybe if we didn't remember it, then maybe like they just thought it wasn't like necessary for the narrative. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Inconsequential. Also, I forgot that he end up with somebody after she dies?
Yeah, not ideal.
Again, inconsequential.
Yeah.
Dexter goes with Maddie and Jasmine to Arthur's seat. I'm like, fuck Maddie.
Fuck Maddie. Unless, is Maddie his ex-wife?
No, it's Sylvie. Wait.
But is she called Sylvie?
I don't know, actually.
Who knows?
Sylvie.
Oh, no. No, Maddie's new. Maddie's in the, she's in the series. She's just like right at the end. She's the new person in the cafe, I think. Yeah.
And they're saying that they didn't keep the bit where he dates her.
No.
Which one? But
you don't need that. Do you know what I mean? No. I actually really like that he travelled to Edinburgh with his dad instead.
Also, I really liked that moment in the TV series where, you know, he sort of ends up drunk at his dad's house after Emma's died. Mm. And he's like, hey, buddy, I've gone through the same thing. Like that moment where he's like, hey, I know you're going through this, but recognize that I've been through the same. Like, you can survive this kind of thing. Like, it's that part is almost unsaid, but like that moment there was like,
stop it, I'm actually gonna cry again.
I thought it was beautifully done. I thought it was beautifully cast. So interestingly enough, some of the sort of like critique I've heard from friends and people at the gym or at work, they haven't liked it. They've either thought that they didn't actually have chemistry at all, that it was quite jarring, almost like normal people in a way, but obviously people are like very on different sides with normal people. And then also someone said to me they thought they couldn't tell if she was just like a bad actor or not, and I was like, have you watched This Is Going to Hurt? And they're like, yeah, I love that. And I was like, well, you know, she's in that. And they were like,
she is not a bad actor. Sorry.
She's not. So she's brilliant. I was like, what are you talking about?
I think she's meant to be a bit awkward. Like, her character is a little bit awkward. Like,
yeah,
that's the whole point. Like, Dex is this like smooth talking guy. Like, he's on TV. And then she's just like a little bit like, I don't know, a little bit more awkward.
And I think it worked. I think it worked really well.
I think though, I don't know, like, maybe we were talking about this, weren't we? Like, I feel like I have a lot of love for the book. It is my favourite book, I think. Mm. If I had to pick a book, it is One Day, and it has been since I read it. But I read it a long time ago, and I think if I had read it more recently, maybe I'd be more critical of the show. Because like when the film came out, I know the film is like nothing in comparison, but like I was like, this is shit, like it's an insult to this book. Like, I cannot believe, like, no offense to the people that made that film, but like, what the fuck? Like, it just didn't do it justice at all. And I think maybe like because enough time has passed, like, I can appreciate the series as a thing as well. So maybe that's got part, like, something to do with it. Maybe there's a bit of nostalgia attached to it. Like,
yeah,
I feel quite nostalgic about the book. Like, I love it. I've like grown since I read the book. Like, I'm now in my late 20s. Like, well, as when I read the book, I was in my teens. Like, I'm not quite at their ages, but like, closer to start and the finish, do you know what I mean? So maybe that's got something to do with it. And I also think that I did like Normal People, and I think it does give Normal People vibes, but I am a Normal People fan, so maybe that is something I like. Maybe if you hate Normal, but you hated Normal People.
I hated Normal People, but I loved this. For me, this worked. So like when I read it, I thought it was phenomenal, and I think it works so much better than Normal People. And I don't know whether it's because they do age. I just, for me, I couldn't get over the, how are they so awkward, so incredibly awkward at this age?
because I never remembered being that awkward. But I mean, I'm one person, I'm not representative of everyone. And I would have been awkward in a different way. And so, yeah, I can't relate, and that's fine. But I think maybe I preferred the TV show a little bit better than the book. But I found them jarring and irritating.
What, normal people?
Yeah. But one day, I was totally on board with. For me, it worked. I can't even explain why I felt like it worked, but it did. I just think it actually fell in love with them, and I fell in love with their love. I'd never did that with normal people. I genuinely thought they could have been better off with other people.
Yeah, I definitely prefer One Day, both book and film, than Normal People. But I did like Normal People, the book, more so than the series, to be fair. Sorry, not film, series, in both cases.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I think I liked the characterization, and I liked that you didn't really like Dexter for a while. That's the point. Like, you're not supposed to like him, but you're supposed to be like, Emma loves him and he loves Emma. Like, he's just shit at showing. He's just a lost boy, isn't he? He's just a little boy, rich boy with some problems that he doesn't know how to deal with.
Well, you know what I absolutely loved about how they showed class in that as well? As in, like, you had that moment where he goes to meet Sylvie's parents, and you know he's like what, middle upper class, but she's like upper
class.
And the juxtaposition, we always talk about maybe working and the middle class and this podcast, or working in the upper class, but we never really talk about when you're middle class and then up, and like actually those things are also very different, like the class, the jump. And so it's funny when you, maybe we talked about it with Victoria Beckham. No, different again, and I'm jumping, sorry. But I guess maybe, I don't know if it's like a middle class sensibility or thinking when it's like, oh, I'm doing really well, blah, 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 blah. And you see yourself as being better because for whatever reason. I'm not saying people do that generally, like I'm not trying to generalize. But then to see the difference between someone who is actually of a different classmanship that's higher than being middle, and then actually them looking down on him when actually he does still have money. He does come from. It was interesting for them to do.
I really liked the way they did the class stuff as well in this. Like, I think they do it better than they did in normal. Well, they didn't really do it in normal. Well, they did do it a bit in normal people. But, like, I think they did it better in this. I don't know why we're comparing it to normal people so much, but anyway.
I mean, that's a bit like a harder comparison as well, because he was, like, working class, right?
Yeah. I think it's implied that Emma's from a working class background, but we don't actually see her family in the show.
What, here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they do just explore it quite well, and like there's like she makes comments and stuff to Dex, like Emma and Dex like talk about it, I really liked it. But I think one episode I found really hard to watch actually was the Sylvie's parents episode. Like, I was just cringing a bit, like when Dexter goes to Sylvie's parents and like they play that game, and then he
whacks her.
What's going on here? Like,
I could have done without that. It could have been like half of one of the other episodes. Like,
but I think you kind of had to understand Dexter's marriage to Sylvie a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair.
Maybe, I don't know. But I was like cringing out so hard in that episode. I was like, nah.
Yeah.
Not interested.
It was interesting. And then I was like, God, is this what they play in the upper middle? It gave me Saltburn vibes, actually, when you think about it.
Yes. Oh my God, 100%. When I was watching it, I was like, this is giving Saltburn.
Yeah. Even that just comparison between wealth between those two classes as well. Because when you think of like Barry Keoghan's character, he comes from a really lovely like 2.4 family. They're not without. And then, but he's still seen or looked down upon by his classmates because he's not of the same standing. It was really interesting. It gave me that. Same decades? No, because they would have been younger than him in 2004. Mm. She would have died.
Stop it.
Sorry. I was just thinking, oh my God. Stop it.
I can't. Also, you know, actually, just to say, yeah, this is really random, but for the first time ever, I think I quite like the TV cover of the book.
Oh, is it the one where they're like
kissing?
It's the yellow one, isn't it? And they're kissing. Oh.
Yeah, kissing. Yeah, very cute. But my cover, my book is signed.
You can actually, never sign that.
When I met David Mitchell. Yeah. I can't. It's the only book I won't lend to anyone.
Good.
Like, now that it's signed, like, I'll lend any other book to anyone ever. But my book's like faded and battered, and I love it. But when I met him, he actually told us about the Netflix series before anyone knew about it. And he was like, "I'm not actually supposed to tell anyone," but he told a whole room of people.
When was this?
And he was, you know, when I met him, I went to that event in Ballon.
Yeah.
And I'd done, oh my God, guys, I went on my own because basically I just bought a ticket because I was like, I can't miss this event. And like, I hadn't found anyone to come with me. And then it sold out by the time someone said they had to come with me. So I went to this event and I'd just done a course, like an online course of his. Like, I paid for it, but like, you didn't meet him. He just like had recorded videos and there was like exercises and stuff. And then I was like in the front row, just like looking at him like... my hero. And then I like had my book there and I was like the first person to get it signed and I was like, oh my God, I've just done your like spam writing course. He was like, oh, do you like it? I was like, yeah. And I was like, this is my favorite book ever. And like, I was just like, oh, I'm so awkward. And he was like, okay, because he's like an awkward like middle-aged middle class like man. And he was just like, okay. So he was really nice though, like honestly probably like one of the like friendliest people, but just like, I think he was just like, this girl's crazy, like she's gonna stalk me or something. Yeah,
this bitch.
But I'm like, does he live locally to Ballon then? Like, why was he there? Because like, that is a big name for a tiny bookshop. I mean, I don't live near Ballon anymore, so that's a shame if he does. But
you can't, yeah, bump into him your local Waitrose.
No, literally. But
imagine you lose your mind every time you went in there.
Oh my God. But he is actually my hero. Like, tell me how you teach me everything you know. I want to write a book like this. This is the kind of book I want to write.
One of the greatest romances for sure.
Yeah. He puts romance into another caliber. Like, I could, yeah.
There was one scene that I really loved, and that was when he's at the phone booth and he's calling Emma.
Oh, after, yeah.
Like, he visits his mother.
At Radley Station as well.
Where also, is that?
That's near Oxford, but it's like hardly any trains stop there. It's like it serves a really posh school. And yeah, it's like a little, like, really local train station. Like, there genuinely would have been no one there, and he would have had to wait ages for a train. So, like, yeah.
Little tidbit for you there, guys. Yeah. He might have been there all night.
Is it Radley College or something? It's like a posh, I think that's what it's called. It's like a posh school there. So he probably went there. Dexter's character probably went there. So
oh, it's just like, yeah, I found that a bit heartbreaking as well. And he's just like, hi, Em. Like, you're out on your date, but like, please pick up. And I'm like, oh God. Emma, go back to the house. Pick up the phone.
In my head, I was like, I'm glad that she missed that because if she hadn't, she wouldn't have gone on the date. And she deserved to be happy, and she needed a life without Dex. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
even if it was Ian.
Even if it was Ian. The episode, no, one of the best bits of it was when Ian was like was there when she got home.
Yeah.
And she'd been sleeping with the head teacher. And he was like, tell me what's going on. And he'd like been through all her stuff and stuff. And he was like, I was like really on edge. I was like, oh my God, what's he going to do? Like, Ian, don't do something you'll regret, mate. And then she told him actually what was happening. And he was like, I don't believe you. He was like, don't mess with me here. I was like, oh my God, that's so funny.
Oh, because he was so convinced by Dex. And, like, I mean, his feelings were right. It just wasn't at the right time.
Right, but she didn't ever act on it. Like, but also, no. Like, she was... I don't know. Like, it could have ended up like they were just friends. Do you know what I mean? not really.
Yeah. But I think there's something so powerful in people seeing something that maybe you don't, like actually seeing it. The people around you can see just like how in tune you are with each other, and you like that to me is just so romantic. You give off such a spark, such an energy when you're together that it's like undeniable, even to like your own close, like your partners and stuff. And I just think, oh, that's really lovely.
Oh, stop it.
She's I know that I'm like the more cold hearted, stone faced bitch who doesn't like romance of the two of us. But this got me in my feels.
You didn't
have
to call yourself a stone-hearted bitch, though. Jesus, Ellie.
I don't know. No, well, you know. I'm not so fluffy. I have a hard exterior.
I think I'm different when I'm reading stories and watching films and stuff than I am in real life. Like, definitely between me and Tom, Tom's way more, like, soppy and romantic than me. So...
Really?
Yeah. Like, I can be quite soppy. And I am sometimes, but he's the soppy one. So, yeah. Oh. I like it, to me, it's like, if you've got my affection, then you'll know about it. But I'm not, I don't know. But then I am soppy sometimes. Like, I'll text you and I'll be like, love you. And you're like, yeah. Yeah, you too.
Yeah, I love you too.
So maybe I am affectionate, but Tom's just more affectionate. Yeah. Maybe I'm just affectionate to my friends that aren't affectionate back. Like, like to Caroline, love you. And she's like, yeah, all right, see you later.
I can imagine Caroline doing that too. That's hilarious.
Like, do you not love me too? And she's like, yeah, okay, shut up.
Oh my God, I was watching them. What was it, those clips that Shits and Gigs do, you know, the Shits and Gigs podcast.
Mm-mm.
And it's like replies to I love you.
Okay.
And one of them was, no, don't do that. It's just like
that's so funny.
It was so funny. I'm going to send you the clip because it's really, it's hilarious, like the people's replies that they had to like I love you. But one of them being, oh no, God, don't do that is wild.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, I like that podcast a lot.
That is good, yeah. I like stuff like that. But have you seen those cards that's like, that are like that? They're funny. But, yeah. I don't know. It is funny how people show their affection as well. And that's what I like about this book and this show, because it's like, you don't have to... Obviously, they do treat each other like shit for ages. But it's like... It's not your classic romance of what happens. It's like, not. It's a different path. Everyone's on a different path, you know?
Isn't it funny how life can get in the way of that as well, of you being, like, honest or feeling how you feel? I mean, I know a lot of it was them skirting around, having to say it first and being shitty with each other, but also Dexter being away travelling would have been a physical barrier, and like, you know, where they live, who they're friends with, all of those sorts of things, like all of those sort of hurdles and obstacles that can happen intentionally or not, that would prevent you from building or having a connection with someone.
Well, also I think the time it was set and written and stuff is very like important, because there's the whole thing about her getting her first mobile phone, and like they can't, like a lot of their story is based on the fact that they're not contactable 24/7, and I feel like it would have been a very different story if we were in today's world, you know.
I wonder how this would have happened in today's world now.
They would have slid into each other's DMs.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh, she would have happened to have been in his area of London or something.
Yeah, tagged her location on his story, and he would have been like, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh my God. How are you? It's been so long. Let's go for, oh my God, the amount of men that I've known that have done that when they've seen me somewhere. I'm like, oh my God, how are you? I can't believe you were here and you didn't say anything. Like,
honestly. Stupid.
stupid, but you don't give them time of day. And this is why one day wouldn't work in this 21st century.
Well, no.
Just, it you'd would just have, be different.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd have to have connection.
I would like to challenge someone to recreate this successfully in the modern day. Or is there a version of that somehow?
Challenge accepted. yeah. Funny. One day.
Challenge you accept it. One day, exactly.
Yeah, it's a good concept for a book. It's like, I like books that have a good concept like that. Like, I like Daisy Jones and the Six, where it's like interviews and stuff.
Yes.
So, yeah. I appreciate a good concept or like a good structure. But yeah. Any comments before we end? Anything further you want to add or say about the book?
I feel like...
Or the show, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, because I didn't reread it. Sorry, guys. It did touch me when I read it the first time. It's one of two books I've thrown across the room in my life, the other being...
What was the other? Stop it.
but it wasn't... Scabbers!
Oh my god.
That girl rereading Harry Potter is amazing.
Do you know the other book that's like that made me sob when I was younger? I mean, that my parents bring up all the time. Goodnight, Mr. Tom. Have you ever read that at school?
Yeah, did it?
Yeah. Really made me cry, like a lot.
I hardly remember it.
Yeah,
don't. What did make me cry?
What?
The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas.
Well, I mean, that book. Fuck, you know.
And I cried and I was really sad. And I remember I had this massive crush. I must have talked about this before. I had a massive crush on a guy called Dean at the time. And we were texting because we were 16 and we had phones, you could text. And we were like almost a thing again at that point.
But place yourself in that decade, Al.
Place yourself. It's 2009, I want to say. No, yeah. I've been 2007. I'd have been 16, and it's the summer, and we're trying again after our stint in year 11, and I just read The Boy in Striped Pyjamas. I was really sad. I was like, oh my god, I can't believe that's just happened. And I put it down, and he texts me. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm really sad. And he's like, why? And I was like, and I told him, and he went, no, that's not it. That's not what happened. And he rewrote a whole end chapter for me in text, and I really wish I had that phone now to find that record, because very sweet.
That is quite sweet but also very strange.
He was like, that's not gonna happen, I'm gonna rewrite the ending for you over text. And you can imagine it was in shorthand as well, so
stop it.
It would have been it would have been like the Jade LB and the what's it called, Keisha the Sket type text.
Stop it. That's so funny.
So yeah, modern day romance.
But that's sad in a way that's it's sad in a different way, isn't it? It's it makes you angry sad. Whereas this is because this is more relatable to our lives, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that was
that's incomprehensible. You're like, yeah.
That should never have happened, full stop.
No.
Humanity. I say that all to say, because we digressed a lot there, I really loved the book when I read it on a farm, heartbroken in Marion, Australia. I really loved the TV series when I watched it. I thought they did a really good job. It was better than the film. No offense, as Kath said, to the people, greatest actors, people that worked on it. but I just felt like this was a better adaptation.
Do you know what's funny? My dad always used to make fun of me because I would be like, no offense, but, and then say something offensive. And that just made me think of that, because I'd be like, no offense, but the film's shit.
And I'm like, no offense, but. Well,
it is, sorry guys.
I feel like they shouldn't have cut. I feel like it needed to be not Anne Hathaway.
Well, that's the thing, it just badly cast, doesn't it? Anne Hathaway's a brilliant actor, but just not right for this. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like they should have found some British actors to have done it. Well, you could do convincing Yorkshire.
Well, accent. Did you know Emma in the series? She has done this thing about how she had to practice her Northern accent because she doesn't actually have a Northern accent.
No, I didn't see that, but yeah, I've heard her in interviews, and I was like, ah, oh, she's not from Yorkshire.
Yeah,
it's not like easy to do either.
No, I think she does it well, but I'm not from Yorkshire, so if you can tell. Why did I say something so obvious? Oh no, I'm actually secretly from Yorkshire, so I'm not. I don't sound like I'm from Yorkshire. I sound like I'm exactly where I'm from. Just the south of England. Don't pronounce my T's, so that's the clue I'll give you. Water. Much to my father's disgust. But anyway, yeah, she did the accent really well, I think, even though I'm not from Yorkshire.
I feel like she did. You know, when we watched Saltburn and I had to hear Barry Keoghan's Liverpudlian one, and I found that a little bit jarring because I didn't think it was 100% there. It was a bit like...
But maybe that's because we know what he sounds like. I don't know.
I've seen him in, like... He was in that Marvel movie, though, and I feel like...
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah, they're my final faults. I can't remember what I said. But yeah, it was good. Both book and film. Go watch.
Yeah.
Yours?
No. Yeah, so I have never enjoyed an adaptation of my favourite books ever. Actually, The Flat Tray I quite liked, the adaptation of that. Mm. But this, not like, I liked that. I like, probably wouldn't rewatch it. Like, I enjoyed it at the time. But usually I hate it because I'm so attached to the book. Yeah. So kudos to Netflix for this, because frankly Netflix needed to give me a reason to continue my subscription, and they have. So well
they
done,
live
Netflix.
To fight another day.
Just at the right time.
Oh god, I saw my come out of my bank account the other day and I went, fucking hell.
Well,
Live to fight another day.
But yeah, but basically, I probably don't need to say it again, but it is, David Nichols is a brilliant writer. Well, his earlier books I prefer. Like, I don't really like Sweet Sorrow and I don't really like Us as much. But his Start for 10, like this trio that he did at this time, like Start for 10, I think you'd like actually. It's like a university, it's about University Challenge, basically. There is actually a film on it as well. But David Nichols is a screenwriter by trade. And so I think that's why this goes so well into a series, I think.
Do you know how much he had to, what part he had
to
play in this?
I was trying to remember what he said. I think he was definitely involved, but I think he said something about, like, it's sometimes a bit awkward if you're there, like, through the whole process, because the people doing it need creative control as well. But he definitely was involved to an extent. So
it was like what we were saying before, I think, way back in a couple
of episodes. I don't think he wrote it. I'm gonna Google this quickly. Was David Nichols involved?
Oh, maybe it was like what Center had said.
He was an executive producer and he was the lead writer. Oh no, Nicole Taylor was the lead writer.
Exec producer credit. Nice.
Yeah. So he was involved, but not like... Yeah, he didn't write it or anything. But yeah, so... Recommend. And guys, we'll be back soon with more stuff. I think we're going to do Memphis the next episode.
Yes, we are. I think we've got Memphis coming up. We've got Ordinary Human Failing.
Yes.
We've got the emoji one. It's not called the emoji one. It's the purple book with the yellow emoji by
purple book with the yellow emoji.
Yummy.
The list.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. If you
by Yomi Adoki.
Guys, you're not ready for my thoughts on the list, so. Take that with you. Actually, romantic comedy, I'm probably going to have some thoughts on. So if you don't want to read it, let me know and I'll write something.
I want to read it in paperback. So whenever that happens, is when. If you want to write something, go ahead.
Romantic comedy, paperback. Do you know what? I'm really surprised that she wrote this book, to be honest. She writes other, like, more like historical fiction, doesn't she? Or like political fiction.
Did she write the Hillary one?
Yeah. She did. So I'm surprised. I'm going to talk to my dad about it because he's read the Hillary one. And if I like this at the end, then I might borrow it because I'm going to go see my parents this week.
Oh, it's called Rodin. Where's the paper? There's no paperback?
It's published on the 28th of March.
Okay. Okay. I'm we talked about me leaving. I'm leaving my company. Sad. I am actually genuinely sad about it, but like it's a good thing. But
it is.
I had to give up. I had to hand over my book club, not my book club, because Kath originated it. And then it became mine, inherited. And then I handed it over. Well, and that was really sad.
I initiated it, but always with you. It wasn't just me. It was always with you.
Yeah. But now neither of us are doing it.
I know. It's gone into the world.
It's gone into the world now. It's not ours anymore. And that was quite hard to do. I'm quite sad about it. But it's with good people. It's with book lovers. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Oh, another book, and what made me think of this is the Brunch Book Club, but Bright Young Women. I think you should read it.
Right. Oh, the Brunch Book Club. We couldn't go to that. Hi, guys. You should go check them out if you're in London as well, by the way. Brunch Book Club. Yes. We're really bad because we keep saying we actually want to go to the physical brunch, and I would like to go to the physical brunch, especially when it's in North London, but the dates just don't work out in our favour at all.
Can you not come to one in South London? Thank you very much.
What?
We need to get sleepover house. Yeah, of course you can. You're always welcome. This bed here is just for you with Daniel Ricciardo.
Yeah, there he is.
But anyway,
yeah, I'm gonna. They've got digress. One. I'm gonna go sit in on the actual call, I think, and then one day we'll get to brunch.
Yeah, cool. Right. Well, I'm gonna leave you and eat my dinner.
Same. We're gonna go put.
And then I'm gonna watch Succession. We're watching Succession. You need to watch it, mate.
I know, but
it's good. You'd like it. You would like it. Anyway.
All right, then. I'll see you later. Love you. Bye.
Oh, you did say it back.
Bye.
And that's the app. If you like the episode, please leave us a lovely review, subscribe and share with your friends, and we'll love you forever. Follow us on socials at We Are Bookish Pod. Thanks for listening.